I'm not doing anything. I'm just hosting the show. I'm not doing anything.
Always makes me laugh.
No, all I'm doing is I'm hosting the show with you. We're talking about Deshaun Watson. We're keeping the rig on the road. We're just keeping the seats warm for Carm and Yurko. Ba, 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 ba. That's what we're doing.
Thank you, Mr. Eddie's father.
Yeah, Eddie's father. Thank you very much. Eddie's father. That's all
it is. Thank you, Eddie's father.
All I know is that I got all the hand-me-downs of all your primetime shows. You're a kid of the 60s, and I'm a kid of the 70s, and I'm just like, courtship Eddie's father. Now, this is interesting. Single dad, mom's a maid. No, it's a maid, but she's like a mother to Eddie.
Right.
And Eddie likes to gamble.
The mom was deceased, right, in the show?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah. And they lived in a high-rise in New York.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean,
and it was the kid, Brandon Cruz.
Yes.
And him and the Asian housekeeper who basically raises him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because dad was always out in the sales thing.
Yeah.
You know, but dad was also, you know, very business, had the newspaper open. Time to go. All right, let's go, Eddie.
Oh, eat your breakfast.
You know, just be very kind. Be very kind to Eddie. You know, it's like, it was very good. It was a warmer, tender show.
It was.
It was tender.
It's not like today.
All your crazy 60s shows. That and the Monkees. I had to watch that as a kid. Like, oh my God, what were you guys watching back then?
Brutal.
Banana Split.
The Banana Splits.
It's like, I'm a kid watching, like, this is 10 years out of date.
Yeah, this is horrible.
And I'm like, the kid of the 70s, like, where's the Jackson 5? Where's
Exactly. 312-332-3776. So, Jim Monos is the director of scouting.
He was
for the Buffalo Bills, and he was on the Ringer NFL podcast, and they were talking about the development of Josh Allen, and he goes back to the 2017 draft because Josh Allen came the next year. Well, when the Chiefs wanted to acquire the draft capital to draft Patrick Mahomes at 10, they traded with the Buffalo Bills. Here is Jim Monos on the Ringer NFL podcast.
I mean, you didn't see these signs of franchise quarterback. You were holding your breath if you're the Bills. Terry, our owner for the Bills when I was there, Terry Pegula, he wanted Patrick Mahomes in the draft. And McDermott didn't want him. I didn't want him. Like, we didn't want him. The GM, we just thought it was a little risky. We make that trade. We get Trey White. And the Bills, to their credit, Brandon Bean and McDermott took Josh Allen. But until this year, they're holding their breath. And his improvement, his accuracy, and feel in the pocket, he makes every throw now. He couldn't throw on the run the first 2 years. Those playoff games, he was throwing on the run. I mean, those guys were making great catches on the sideline, but I'm telling you, his improvement is as good as I can think of. I can't really compare him to somebody that had 2 years where he had, and then third year, it's like, dang.
Okay, so you brought up a good point that I think needs exploring. You didn't want Patrick Mahomes. You were a part of the decision-making process. What happened there?
It's a credit to the Terry Pegula and Kim Pegula, the owners. Like, they didn't overstep, but they wanted Mahomes. And Sean McDermott and us as the GMs and personnel staff, we just felt like, hey, we're trying to build this long-term. Let's keep Tyrod Taylor for this year, and let's see what we can do, and let's get some more picks, and let's build this thing, because nobody in our building had conviction on Mahomes being what he is. And obviously, we passed on Michael Jordan, and I talk about that, and I think about it pretty much daily. But I'm happy to see that the Bills have made, you know, they've made the most out of that trade, for sure. I mean, to think it could have been a lot worse. I always think about the Bears, you know, they traded up in that draft to take Trubisky. At least we didn't do that. I mean, at least we got Trey White, and you know, they used that pick to get Josh Allen, too. So.
Whew. Jim, I heard a million Bears fans listening to this and going, well, at least we're not going to catch a stray in this. At least it's the Bills who passed on Mahomes. Nope, sorry. It's still the Bears. It's still the Bears' fault because the Bills made the best out of it.
So there you go. This guy who he said, Michael Jordan, some believe he'll be the greatest quarterback ever. He'll certainly go down in the team photo of the top 10 in the history of the sport.
We'll see.
Right. Got to stay healthy.
We'll see.
But there are people who've said to me, how could you not see that in Patrick Mahomes? There were 9 teams picking, and of the 9 that went before, and then Buffalo being the 10th, they traded out of the pick. Cleveland did not have their franchise quarterback. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff. They took Myles Garrett, did not get Baker Mayfield till a year later. The San Francisco 49ers, who had two, went to three, did not have Jimmy Garoppolo at that point, did not have their quarterback, left Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson on the board. We know how the Bears foobarred it. The Bills did not have their franchise quarterback, so we'll be good with Tyrod Taylor. We're going to leave Mahomes on the board. Like, there's a bunch of teams. Like, how did they miss like that?
For perspective, Patrick Mahomes played in 32 games in college.
Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm. Okay? And we saw the numbers. They were eye-popping, right? First year, 16 touchdowns, 1,500 yards. Second year, in 2015, 36 touchdowns, 4,600 yards. Over 5,000 yards in that last game, the last season he played at Texas Tech, 41 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. And at the time, I will tell you, Cap, at the time, in 2016, I thought, he's got some eye-popping numbers for that gimmick offense.
Mm-hmm.
I had no – who knows who Michael Jordan is until you see Michael Jordan come into his own?
Right.
Who knows who Patrick Mahomes is until you see him come to his own? I'm just telling you, so I'm not trying to give you revisionist history. As a college football fan that watches maybe way too much college football, I didn't know Patrick Mahomes could be this good. But it's the right place, right time, right system, right quarterback for Kansas City and Andy Reid.
Andy Reid, the best, they say, ever at tutoring quarterbacks. He had Alex Smith, who is as smart and as professional a guy, not anywhere near as gifted as Patrick Mahomes, to help indoctrinate him. They said, we're not playing him as a rookie. And guess what? They listened to themselves. And he sat for an entire year, and he said it was the greatest thing he ever did.
Here's the thing about that soundbite we just played. The Bills come out whole out of all this. They come through whole because they got Josh Allen.
Correct.
As he mentioned, holding their breath like, oh, my God, I hope this guy can be. Because at least we could save face with our franchise. Because the fans, you know, in Buffalo are nuts, right? They'll just go through a table for no reason. They are angry in Orchard Park, right? So at least they got their guy. Man, they're happy about that. It's like, yeah, Patrick Mahomes, but at least we got Josh Allen. And look what the Bears did. Ugh.
Unbelievable. That was my takeaway too, Hoodie, is I was listening to that yesterday and I was stunned because I had never heard the story that the Bills ownership was in. They wanted Patrick Mahomes, because think about how different that is too, because, you know, can you imagine if Jerry Jones wanted Patrick Mahomes in a draft room? I can't imagine whoever's in charge of player personnel is talking Jerry Jones out of taking a quarterback if he's got his eyes dead set on somebody. You know what I mean? So it just goes to show how different ownership is across the landscape in every sport. You know, if you have a strong-willed owner and they want something, they get it. It's their team. That's the reality of the situation. In this case, the ownership wanted Pat Mahomes, and their Sean McDermott and their GM at the time, Doug Whaley, and Jim Manos, who you heard in that soundbite, did not think that he was a franchise guy. So they were like, let's talk him out of it. And you're right. It's palatable for Bills fans because they've got their guy now.
Yeah. Our guy didn't hit.
But that's the thing. I find it amusing, Cap, that you spin it as, okay, 10 other teams missed on him. I'm thinking the Bears are still the punchline. When all is said and done,
agreed,
the Bears are still the punchline in a story that is completely unrelated to them.
But, like, Michael Jordan went third.
Yep.
Hakeem Olajuwon, I get it. He's one of the greatest players in the history of the sport. And at that time, the game was more inside out rather right. than outside in.
Correct.
Okay, I get it. They took Hakeem Olajuwon. But to think that number two left Michael Jordan on the board to take Sam Bowie, everyone's like, oh, my God, how could you do that? He'd had foot problems before. And I'm going back through this draft.
The Bears got Sam Bowie.
Right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. But when you go, like, I had this discussion with my brother. Like, how do you not see the abilities of Pat Mahomes? Father, a pro athlete. So he understands the lifestyle, what good clubhouse culture, being a good dude. His dad was revered as being a great teammate. Like, all of the boxes get checked except for, yeah, that system's gimmicky. I don't know if we can believe.
Seriously. That's what I thought.
Right. That's what a lot of people thought.
You watch any Big 12 game in particular, and, like, the ball's vertical. It's just in the air a ton. It's a lot of points, right? You don't know whether or not that guy can harness his own. Like, and he threw some interceptions. Like, what's young Favre out there? Can they harness this guy? But it took coaching and tutoring
right.
for him to refine his game. He was a wild horse out there at Texas Tech, putting up numbers for sure,
right.
but I didn't know how that would relate to the NFL.
Yeah, and so Again, just for context, Cleveland didn't have a franchise quarterback, left him on the board. And Deshaun. The Bears, they foobarred the pick. San Francisco, they didn't have a quarterback at the time. Jacksonville, Blake Bortles, stop. They didn't know how good Mahomes would be. Tennessee, they didn't have Ryan Tannehill then. They thought it was a Marcus Mariota show. That didn't work. The Jets, they didn't have Darnold then. That didn't work. The Chargers, they had Phillip Rivers back then, but he was, what, 37 years old at the time? 36?
I don't know.
Christian McCaffrey.
Yes, he was old. Yes.
Okay, I give the Panthers credit because, correct me if I'm wrong, was Cam Newton not the MVP in 16?
He was
15.
He
was 15.
15. Okay, so 2 years later, they're not going to take a quarterback. I get that one. Cincinnati, Andy Dalton was not going to be confused with a Hall of Famer. But that, they left him on the board.
That was their guy, though. Like, they thought Andy, they were trying to stick with a quarterback for a decade, and yep, they were just trying, just like with Cutler.
Correct.
They were just holding on to him to see what could happen.
And then Buffalo at 10 trades out of the pick, and Kansas City trades in, and they get the home run. So, crazy.
You just never know, man.
You never know. It's a great point. 312-332-3776. Jerry's in Hammond, Indiana. Hey, Jerry, what's up there, Sparky?
Hey, good morning. Hey, it's an honor to be talking sports with you guys, man.
It's an honor to have you on.
Well, thank you. Listen, you guys are wrong. I think it was clear as day that Patrick Mahomes was going to be great. I mean, look at his pedigree. His dad played in a professional sport. His dad won World Series with the Yankees. Patrick Mahomes, as a youngster, was catching fly balls at Yankee Stadium. The moment will never be too big for that man. That man oozes.
Okay,
swag.
But Jerry, you had 10 NFL franchises, and I just laid out for you that 9 of the 10 did not have a franchise quarterback that was going to be the long-term answer, and every one of them left him and Deshaun on the board. Every one of them.
We could have used that hot call in 16, by the way.
Yeah, where were we in 2017 to find Ryan Pace at the Sun Bowl in sunglasses and go, yeah, go get something to eat, go get the other guy.
Well, Cap, that's a really good point. But the Bears specifically have been in the market for a quarterback, not just that 1 year, but for like a generation. We needed a quarterback, and all we had to do was just a little bit of homework. We had a layup.
Jerry, thank you for the call. We appreciate you listening. It wasn't a layup.
It was not. Now, Deshaun Watson, for me, injury or not, I saw a winner. That's what I saw.
No doubt.
That's what I saw.
Like, if you were truly taking the best, most proven commodity on the board, taking Pat Mahomes.
No, you're
taking Deshaun Watson.
Yep. Only because I saw him on the biggest stage get it done. That's what I saw. And so I never thought that Mahomes would turn into this. But you know what? Again, it's his own ability. Yes, he is a second-generation athlete, but also the tutoring.
Agreed.
That's part of it, too, the coaching. Because otherwise, he would be Brett Favre, just throwing all over the place, throwing all over the yard. But you know he's not that guy. As a matter of fact, every time you see him, you see something different. He's getting better and better. Like he's already great.
Like, he goes to Kansas City. He's going to sit for a year. He's going to learn how to be a professional.
Sure.
Oh, and by the way, Andy Reid is going to be your ultimate quarterback guru. Or you could come to Chicago where they don't have a good team, John Fox and Dow Loggins, and you're sitting behind Mike Glennon for 4 games. And then you're going to be forced to play on a bad team. Yeah, his career would not have been the same here. It just wouldn't.
I'm just trying to be honest and steadfast. Like, I could just come in here with the bravado. It's like, yeah, you know all the time that Patrick Mahomes is going to be great. I didn't know that.
Correct.
No idea.
Nobody did. That's why he went 10th. But the Chiefs hit the home run.
Yeah.
We'll get to more of your calls. 312-332-3776. The Lions' new head coach is really something special.
Oh, God.
Meatballs, love them. That is next plus Championship Weekend Breakdown.
David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Ah, yes. You continue to sleep. That junk of a franchise in Michigan. Unbelievable. Shocking.
But they are so fired up this morning because of the press conference of Dan Campbell, who got a 6-year deal as head coach. 6 years. And they're paying him serious money to get him to leave New Orleans to take the Detroit job.
Now, people are listening. It's like, oh, the Lions have a new head coach in Dan Campbell. Well, I'm not familiar with them, so what's so wrong with this hire? Well, we're going to tell you what's wrong with this hire.
Take a listen. This is Dan Campbell on a question asked by the Detroit media. What about the attitude this team is going to have going forward?
So this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth. All right, and when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down, all right? And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing, all right? That's going to be the mentality.
Let me tell you something, brother. Mean Gene, when I get Haku at Madison Square Garden, you know what's going to happen. The power lies, brother. Hulkamania. All the Hulkamaniacs will be there, brother. And let me tell you something. The bottom line is, when I get you Haku in the middle of the ring at Madison Square Garden, you're going to be asking the question, what's causing all this?
I mean, they are so fired up in Detroit. Because they got that yesterday.
That guy's a meatball.
The sleepy franchise, no more.
They continue to sleep. That guy's a meatball. Don't worry, Bears fans. You think you got problems. Wait until you see the 5-11, the 4-12, the 3-13 team that guy cranks out. Are you kidding me? That mentality, that's a great press conference in 1983.
Correct.
2021. And the Lions hired that guy. He was with the Dolphins just for a cup of coffee. The reason why his name wasn't hot is because of that. So he went in there to the Ford family, the friendly Ford family. And they're there, and you could see the Fords being built through the glass there. The Ford trucks, yeah. The Ford cars being
made. The
motor
assembly plant in the background.
And then it's like, what can you do for our franchise? Let me tell you something, brother.
What the Rock is cooking.
I mean, really?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they hired Macho Man Randy Savage.
That's exactly what they hired.
They hired Hulk Hogan. Really? This is now here. Now, this perspective, when people say, hey, how come a former Bear is not in charge or in the front office making suggestions? Chris Spielman left Fox, and he said, you know what? Campbell, you look like you work out. I work out, too. You work out? I work out. You're hired. Bro.
Let's go lift together.
Bro. A weemawa.
So, let
me ask.
Tag team partners.
That's it. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
I love that scoop. There it is. Question. A commercial. Let me ask you a question. Eric Bieniemy. He's the offensive coordinator of the best offense in the National Football League.
Oh. You mean Brother Bieniemy?
Brother Bieniemy.
Huh.
And is he being penalized because they're still playing? Is he being penalized because people are like, Andy Reid's calling all the plays? Is he being penalized because they see Peterson got fired and Matt Nagy struggling? Or is he being penalized because we're not seeing people of color getting jobs this offseason? Let me ask that. Let's hear that question when he was asked about being the face of NFL coaching searches.
Do you feel that since you've kind of become the face of this whole coaching search, if you will, you know, just especially nationally, do you feel any regret or remorse that it's come to the fact that you're kind of the face of this?
You know what, Harold, here's the thing. It's always good to be mentioned and having an opportunity to pursue your dreams. And obviously, yes, I do want to be a head coach. But when it's all said and done with, my job is to make sure everything that we're doing right now is not to take away from the goals that we're trying to accomplish. The only thing that matters today, we got better. Okay, today we had an opportunity to make sure we can take care of situational football as far as short yardage, goal line, and our third down situations. So now it's time for us to go back in and chop wood, watch this tape, and get ready for the next day. We want to make sure that we're getting our guys ready to make sure they can take care of business on Sunday. My own personal business, when all that's time to take care of itself, that will take care of itself, Harold. But thanks for asking.
You see what happened there? Harry asked a good question.
He did.
See, he was talking about himself, brought it back to the team.
Right.
Us talking about the Chiefs, and then went right back to him.
Perfect. We are going to get ready for what the next challenge is, and the rest will take care of itself.
But that guy can't be a head coach.
It's crazy.
But yet, let me tell you something, brother.
Can you smell what the Rock is cooking?
Dan Campbell.
Right.
6 years.
6 year deal.
Yeah.
Like, that's unheard of. Like, if you said, wow, did you see Sean Payton's leaving the Saints and he's taking the Lions job and they gave him 6 years and, you know, $70 million. Okay, I get it. He won a Super Bowl. He's proven. Dan Campbell got six guaranteed years.
Let me be the first to tell you, if no one else has told you, that is an awful hire by the Lions. Awful. That guy, I mean, it looks like his head's going to explode after a loss. That guy, you know what we got to do? Pump more iron, brother. Take your vitamins, say your prayers, drink your milk. What?
Well, and how about, too, we haven't even mentioned it. Yesterday, the Eagles hire Nick Sirianni, who I think I've read his name once before, and I follow the NFL pretty closely.
At a really good Italian restaurant in Philly. Sirianni.
He's vacationing with his family in West Palm, and the Eagles call him, right? The Eagles call him, and they go, hey, we're interested in for you to be the head coach. And he goes, where are you? I'm West Palm. You know what? I'm in West Palm. I'm going to get a suit. I'll just drive right down. And they hire him. He didn't even know he was going to get a phone call. He just happened to be vacationing with his family. That's what Bieniemy's got to deal with.
It's unbelievable.
Name you don't know. Becomes the head coach of a good Eagles team.
Wow.
See what we go through?
Yes. 312-332-3776.
Rooney rule my ass.
Yeah, it's... Wow.
Sirianni.
The only job left is the Texans.
Now, here's the thing.
Hey, Eric, you want the Texans?
I mean, look, Sirianni, I'm not saying that he's not qualified. Dan Campbell's not. But I'm not saying that Sirianni's not qualified or some of the other guys, but my God, man.
I'm down to... We have a bet going.
You're going to lose that bet, pal.
And the bet was a bottle of either Crown or whatever I want.
Or Morgan David, yes.
Yeah, man, it's Shepherds. Thank you. We do. He gets a bottle of Crown Royal, or I get a bottle of whatever I want, and maybe Cristal. And
whoa,
we're down. I said he would get guaranteed. Eric Bieniemy will get a job. We're down to one vacancy. The Texans.
Take that.
One vacancy and what looks like a dumpster fire of a franchise. Hey, if they do hire Eric Bieniemy, you have to wonder, is it simply because they're trying to save face and convince their franchise quarterback that, hey, you need to stay? Because right now, it's amazing, but that's the one job left. And if Eric Bieniemy gets it, I think we're all going to have raised eyebrows saying, did you really want Eric Bieniemy? Or is this because you know that Deshaun Watson has said he wants Eric Bieniemy?
Well, we'll see. We will see.
312-332-3776. Let's go to Aaron and Logan Square. Hey, Aaron, what's up, Sparky?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
What's up, Aaron?
Thanks, guys. First-time caller. Great to hear you and Cap together, Jay Hood. Listen to you in the afternoon when you're on that shift. Wanted to comment on the pace evaluation of quarterbacks and wanted to just throw it to you guys and let you guys kind of go at it. The fact that you guys exposed that Patrick Mahomes came from a pedigree that shows that obviously he knows how to handle situations, and the fact that he came from an offense that was high volume. Pace did not evaluate the fact of where the NFL was going from the standpoint of offense being a primary focus on obviously a lot of our NFL teams. Teams want to score, teams want fans, teams want that whole experience. He chose to go with Mitch Trubisky by not doing his due diligence with both Mahomes and Watson, who was the obvious choice. Do you really want this person now partially responsible? Because I understand that Nagy's supposed to be in the room. You really want this person in the room to have any input on helping make the decision for your next quarterback, knowing that if he didn't do his due diligence in the past, why would you think he's going to do his due diligence now? Also, Cap, love the idea. So that's the question. Also, Cap, love the idea of rooting for both teams. I'm from the South Side, South Shore. I grew up watching both teams, but love the Cubs because of Harry Carey. So if both teams are playing, I'm rooting for the Cubs. But I still want to see the Sox do well this year, and I will go to some games. So, sorry, Jay Hood, but that's just how I feel about it.
I hope I see you out there, and maybe we can toast, okay?
You absolutely will. If I see you out there, I'll definitely come and shake your hand because I'm a huge fan of the show, both you and Hoodie. Also, Roll Tide. Back to you guys.
You're right. A good man, Aaron. Thanks a lot.
All right, that's enough. Get out of here.
South Shore.
You are right until you gave me that Roll Tide at the end. That's enough of that.
Take that, Georgia fan. 312-332-3776. Phone lines are hopping. We're rolling to your calls. Next.
Cap. J-Hook.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
On ESPN 1000 with your favorite old-time TV show host, me and Hoodie. I'm Cap. He's Jonathan Hood at TweetJHood on Twitter. I'm at the Capman, and please download our podcast. There's the Under the Hood basketball podcast right there on the front page of the ESPN Chicago app. And of course, the Cap J Hood podcast up every single day after the show. Please tell your friends, download our podcast.
Yeah, fresh Under the Hood basketball podcast is up right now, right in the Cap and J Hood feed as we preview what the Bulls have to go through, taking on a Charlotte team. LaMelo Ball, all of a sudden, fun.
He's looking good?
Fun.
No
question. He's the kind of guard that you, you try to maybe try to harness LaMelo a little bit. Straight up as a point guard, standing up, he's up straight and he's fast.
Yep.
They pass the hell of the ball. I know you love this. 317 passes a game for Charlotte. 317 passes a game.
Making the extra pass.
That's what the Bulls have to deal with tonight against Charlotte. Then the Bulls play, I guess, the Lakers. We preview all that on the Cap and J Hood podcast feed on the basketball podcast.
Look forward to it. All right, to the phones. So fly through these, so be ready to go. Rufus is in Wilmette. Rufus is first. Hey, Rufus.
Hi, guys. I'm just wondering if you think it's possible that instead of all these other teams being too stupid to want to hire Bieniemy, that in fact there's already a verbal agreement between Bieniemy and the Texans, but given the NFL rules, he can't sign a contract. And so the other teams have approached him, but he said he's already committed.
That could be, Rufus. That very well could be. I wonder, though, is there also in that agreement that Watson will return? Bieniemy wants to be a head coach, but how bad do you want to be a head coach without Deshaun Watson?
Right, unless you know you're hitting a home run trade that you're going to get Tua and a bunch of picks. Okay, it's not working here. That's fine. But if they're just going to trade him, appreciate the call, Rufus, and you're walking into a train wreck down there so you can get fired in 4 years, no shot.
I understand a job's a job, but, man, you'd like to have a few irons in the fire before
chance
you get in
to
there.
Succeed.
Yeah, you want that.
I think it's possible he gets hired by the Texans. I don't think he has a backroom deal that we're not aware of. I think we would be aware of it if they had that, especially the way this Watson thing has gone down. Somebody would leak it and make it public that they were hiring Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah, to try and keep the quarterback. We'll see. 312-332-3776. He should get the job because he's the best candidate for the job. Well, we'll hire him because he could keep Deshaun. No. Do you want Eric Bieniemy coaching your football team? Because his resume says he's going to be damn good at it.
You also don't hire him because he's black.
Exactly.
You hire him because he's the best and black.
Correct.
You actually ring both bells in that regard, right?
Tony Dungy said something that I thought was very interesting. He said, I want to get to the point where, he said, yes, when you're the first black quarterback or first black head coach, yes, that's notable because it has been something people have resisted for so long. But once that happens, he goes, I just want them to say, hey, they hired Jonathan Hood. They hired Tony Dungy. They drafted this guy, Patrick Mahomes. Not because they're black, because they're the best person for the job. Period. Just as you said it.
You would think.
You would hope.
But, you know.
Let's go to Jay in Homewood. Hey, Jay, what's going on in the home of Randy Merkin?
I tell you guys, you know, the lack of diversity is not limited to the NFL. You see it at all levels, you know, the college, high school level, and it really sets organizations back. And so when they make these decisions based on race, it really impacts the decisions that are being made behind closed doors. I mean, think about Trubisky and think about Watson and think about Mahomes. Think about how the Bears organization had put themselves back. And it's not a knock on Trubisky. The reality is he just was not the best candidate.
Right.
So when we make these decisions, it impacts. Other decisions are made as to who we're going to select, who we're going to draft. These have big reverberations. So you look at Dan Campbell, for example, the new coach for Detroit. He has a tone kind of similar to Singletary. Now, Singletary had gotten a bad rap for whatever reason. And so he's viewed as this angry black man. Campbell's not viewed as an angry white man. So the standards are different. So we have to really expand the Rooney Rule. We have to look at fines. We have to look at a whole bunch of things. And it's unfortunate in this day and time that we're still talking about this. But if you look at it, it is a reality. But again, this lack of diversity is not limited to the NFL. And it impacts all levels. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Appreciate the call, Jay. Well said.
College football also has that major problem.
Right.
College football press boxes also have that problem.
Why is it that, okay, we're going to hire him. He's a person of color.
Right.
If he fails, probably not getting a second bite at the apple. But, oh, that guy? Non-person of color? Okay, he got fired. Didn't work out there. We'll give him a try there.
Comfort.
Right.
Comfort. We always tease about the foursome, right?
Right.
Do you fit the foursome? Talk about the golf foursome. Does he, that guy look right at the foursome? Does he look right at the dinner table? Mm-hmm. Does he look right in front of those that want to buy into the franchise, sales, all that?
But that's...
That shouldn't be the case.
Agreed.
Right.
But that's why when Theo spoke so eloquently when he was still running the Cubs, when he said, why is everybody that I hire educated like me, look like me, sound like me? Maybe it's my problem that I don't go hire people that don't look like me, don't sound like me, weren't educated like me, but bring an entirely perfect perspective that we don't even look at.
And for those that are in that crowd and said, it shouldn't matter what color he is, as long as the guy is qualified, the enemy's qualified, and yet all these jobs are being taken up, all these jobs except one. And we'll see what the Houston Texans do, but it would be a shame for him to be locked out because Bieniemy, along with Andy Reid, have really built a nice culture with Kansas City, championship-like culture, and an offense that everyone envies. And Bieniemy is a big part of that.
No question
about
it.
That's the only point.
No question. 312-332-3776. And let's go to Nesby out on Stony Island. Hey, Nesby, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, Cap? What's up, Hoodie, man? How y'all doing?
What's up, buddy?
What's up, Nesby?
What's up? Okay, so I heard you earlier stating this. It baffles your mind why Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes lasted as long as they did. And again, let's just date back to what you just what Hoodie just picked on. It's comfortable. It's being comfortable. Again, if you can't relate, it's being comfortable. We know why. I think every Bears fan that's African American or anything, they know why Mitch Trubisky was picked. Okay, we know why. Perfect example. Look at Deshaun Watson's numbers. Look at Patrick Mahomes' numbers. Comparable to Lawrence, that's coming out, that's the unanimous number one pick. Comparable to Joe Burrow last year, who was the number one pick. Why is it when it comes to the black quarterback who puts up these numbers, it's a I don't know. Yet when it comes to these guys, it's a no-brainer. It's the thinking of the general managers and the head and the owners. It's the same reason for why there's very few minority head coaches in the NFL. They use that same demographic. They use that same mindset, that same thinking when picking a coach when it comes to pick their franchise quarterback. A lot of these owners are in the old school mindset way of thinking. That's just what it is.
Nesby, we appreciate the
Thanks,
telephone
Nesby.
Call. Thanks, Nesby. Make sure we say up front that when you're an organization, Cap, you can't tell anyone who to hire. But it is a systemic issue in the National Football League, systemic issue in college football as well, that you can't say that someone that's been serves an apprenticeship, who's been a coordinator mm-hmm. or an assistant coach for a
Checks
long time,
all the boxes.
You don't think that that person deserves the opportunity? That's just nonsense.
Agree.
There's a number of guys that in the NFL now are coordinators that will never get up by the apple. The guy before Kingsbury,
Steve Wilks.
Coach Wilks, who was at Arizona before, he may never coach again. He had 1 year. And they got a guy who failed up in the job. You know why? Because Kingsbury checks all the boxes. Sexy, smooth voice, supposed to know offense, and it's got a great crib. That's what they hired, right? What about Radio Raheem? He just took a defensive coordinator job with the Rams.
Yes. Okay. He replaces Brandon Staley.
You're not going to get another bite of the apple after the Tampa job?
You're so right, Hoodie. Raheem Morris turned around what the Falcons were doing. They were a disaster under Dan Quinn. And they had a nice little run here
at
the end.
And he just got a job, too, didn't he?
That's what he said, yeah.
No, Dan Quinn.
Yeah, he's a DC for...
He is a defensive coordinator, yes.
I can't remember off the top of my head. But, like, no, but Eric Bieniemy's been calling plays now for what? Is this his third year, I think? You know, Nagy got the job without ever really... Six games, right? Eric Bieniemy's running the same offense that he's running under Andy Reid. Andy Reid has vouched for Eric Bieniemy and said how he thinks he's going to be a great head coach when he gets the opportunity. Meanwhile, Peterson, Nagy, guys who... And meanwhile, Dan Campbell was an interim head coach for like three or four games. I don't even know if he's ever actually called plays.
I don't know that either. You mean interim head coach with the Miami Dolphins just for a couple?
Yeah, because he was replacing, because he was on staff when they fired Sperano, maybe.
I think that's right.
And Nick Sirianni never called plays.
See that, Cap?
Right.
That's why you're going to owe me a bottle of Crown.
I think he's getting the Texans.
Maybe. Oh, by the way, speaking of coaching real quick, a sidebar. We talked about wayward coaches going to coach for Alabama, right? Nick Saban just brings them in.
I just saw another one.
Doug Marrone.
Doug Marrone's going to be the O-line coach.
But why? I mean, he purposely tanked the game against the Bears. We saw it in plain sight. You are purposely losing that ball game, handing the Bears the victory, right? Mitch never looked better. Never looked better.
Remember how open Cole Kmet was at the end of the half to get an extra field goal?
Oh, my God.
Literally. Don't guard that guy.
On purpose. And you know what happened? Marrone's coach. Yeah, what is it? I need a job. I just got fired at Jacksonville. Oh, come on in. You got your bags? All right. The room's to the right over there. We got a fridge. All right. There's the window.
And go see the equipment man. He'll get you some shirts and some shorts and some gear.
All right. Just be ready for practice. That's what I need you to do. just be ready. And he's like, okay, coach, whatever. I know you got fired, but in a couple years, you'll be fine. But just come coach with me, and you'll be just fine. But just make sure you're on time.
Get me a vial of the holy water and go sprinkle that on him. It's crazy.
The home for wayward coaches.
It is.
They're in a circle in Tuscaloosa, and it's just like, hi, my name's Doug, and I was fired, too. This other coach says, hi, I'm so-and-so, and I was fired, too. What was your experience like, Doug? Hi, Doug. Welcome to the Circle of Trust. Hi, I'm Bill O'Brien, and I was fired by the Texans because I was a boob. Hi, Bill. Welcome. All these ex-coaches, they all come to Alabama just to get straightened out. Anthony Lynn's an intern. He's there. Anthony Lynn.
He was NFL Coach of the Year in some voting. 312-332-3776. By the way, Vance Joseph, he ever going to get another bite at the apple?
No shot.
Guy's considered a great dude and a hell of a defensive mind.
No
shot. All your calls next.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood
on ESPN 1000
and the ESPN Chicago app.
Ladies and gentlemen,
All right, phone lines are hopping with Hoodie. I'm Cap. To the phones we go, and let's go to Rod in Lockport. He's first. Hey, Rod, what's up?
Hey, guys, how are you?
How are you?
I'm doing fine. Hey, I'm thinking, you know, when they asked George McCaskey what the contract status of Nagy and Pace, and he wouldn't give the answer, I think George told them this is 1 year, because I think it's telling that all their coaches are leaving. I mean, they lost Rodgers, and he didn't even get the defensive coordinator job in for the Chargers. Hiring Hill.
You know, Rod, I think him and also Dave Ragone knows that this is a lame duck situation.
Well, he's also getting promoted, but the Rodgers one's a legitimate. He didn't get a promotion.
Yeah, right. And I think he probably could have been our defensive coordinator. Everything you read about the guy.
Sounds like
Hicks, what he does for the line.
Well, it sounds like, and thanks for the call, Rod. It sounds like, maybe I'm wrong, but it sounds like Jay Rogers said, you making me the D quarter? Nope, then I'm out of here. I'm going to join my friend in L.A. Okay, we'll let you go. We're not making you the coordinator.
And Ragone becomes O.C.
O.C., so it's a logical step. I get it. You've been there since 2014. What quarterback have you developed? None. Like, you could say Mitch sucks. Okay. Did you make Mike Glennon any better? No. Did you fix Cutler? No. Did you chase Daniel better? No. But how about Tyler Bray? Did he develop? No.
No, it's all right, Cap, but he's good for the room.
Crazy. I mean, it's like, wow.
Do you understand the phrase when I say failing up? Do you understand what that?
Like Cliff Kingsbury. He got an assist. Wasn't he going to be the OC at USC?
Correct.
He got fired at Texas Tech, going to take an assistant college job. Hold on a second. Arizona Cardinals called. They want you. Oh, really? What role? Wide receiver coach? Quarterback? No, head coach.
Yep.
What?
Yep.
Let me out of that deal.
He's good looking.
It's crazy. Back to the phones. Tony's in Yorkville. Anthony, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show.
Hi,
Appreciate
Tony.
You.
Cap, you hit on earlier, and I think Hoodie alluded to it too, that he's kind of, the enemy's kind of got a double whammy, which is kind of ridiculous to say, right? Not only, you know, the person of color nonsense going on right now, but he's not a yes man either. He's outspoken, right? He's not afraid. You know, you look on the sidelines, they'll get in Patrick Mahomes' face if he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. I mean, how many times have you looked on there and he's gotten into shoving matches with Kelsey? You know, he's not backing down from everything. And I think, too, it's kind of ridiculous to say it, but owners are scared of that stuff, right? They don't, you know, not, they want you to be on.
All right, I think
company kind of guy.
There he is.
And I think that's kind of what's working against him, but I think that's one of his best attributes. He's kind of like, I think he's going to be a better version of Tomlin, right? And he's even checked all the boxes. If he's even said before, I don't have to call the plays if there's somebody better than me calling the plays. And yeah, I also think
because
that
he's comfortable. Thanks for the call, Tony. He's comfortable in who he is.
Yes.
But if you're going to have Dan Campbell and his nonsense up there,
oh my God,
we're going to bite off your kneecap and then bite another kneecap. Eric Bieniemy can't get a job? Really?
And I just don't buy into our guys, Albert Breer and Dan Graziano, saying, well, you know, he's with Kansas City and he's fully immersed in the playbook. No, you could do two things at once, you know. You can interview someone in a Zoom call or, as you say, get in a quarantine, make sure that you are healthy enough to see somebody in person and just do it if you really believe in the guy.
Correct.
There's no excuses, man.
Like, he's getting tested every day, Bieniemy.
Yeah.
I'm talking for COVID.
Sure.
So you're telling me that Cal McNair or Nick Caserio or whoever's in a position of authority at Houston can't go, guess what? I am going to be working from home for the next 7 days. I need you to have the trainer stop by the house every day and do a COVID test. And once I know I absolutely do not have it, I want our jet waiting. I'm going right to a hotel. I'm going to be there and bring Bieniemy to me. Period. Let's talk.
I just want top shelf. I want the best of the best.
Agreed.
Yeah, I know he hasn't done it before, but I know he knows offense. I need that in the NFL.
And he's supposed to be a great, great person. 312-332-3776. Tim's up in Gurnee. Hey, Tim, what's up, man?
Yeah, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
What's up, Tim?
Just a commentary on the call about Eric Bieniemy and the job and how it quickly goes to race, I think, is disappointing. I mean, if you're an owner, there's 32 of these jobs. If you're an owner of these of one of these teams, I mean, you're going to look at, you know, historically what's happened, and the Andy Reid guys of late haven't done that well. And there are a number of mitigating factors as to why or why not Eric Bieniemy may or may not be getting the job. And I just think it's disappointing that we run to race right away all the time.
Well, we'll address it on the other side. We've got a league that's 78% African American. And the coaches are not given opportunities like coaches that are not black. That's just a fact.
It's disappointing when you don't want to face the facts. I can understand why you'd feel it's disappointing because you don't want to face that fact. I get it. Look, we're laying out for you facts and numbers, and you find it disappointing. So I can totally understand that. There's a Rooney Rule in place. Do you feel like that's disappointing? The NFL shouldn't have to have that in place. It should be about the best candidate. But ultimately, the Rooney Rule cap is to be able to get in the door. It's not to automatically hire someone. It's to say, I'd like to have an interview with you. Then I can show you. Then it's on me.
Correct.
To be able to impress you. You're going to hire whoever you're going to hire.
Correct.
But the NFL shouldn't even have a Rooney Rule in place. But the reason why they do is because of situations like this. Dan Campbell, all these other guys that are qualified, maybe they're not. But Bieniemy, because of what he's done with Kansas City, you can see what's happening here. So when you're disappointed because you don't want to